Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seed, a broken egg, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad intention, bad vibes. So we want to talk about the great Barry Bonds. I've been promising that I would do it, and so it is. Barry Bonds, the all-time home run king of Major League Baseball. So much to talk about. All right, let's start by talking about his records. Home runs in a single season, 73. Did it in 2001. Home runs in a career, 762. That's the mark that everyone lives by now. Home runs against different pitchers, 449 different pitchers. Home runs since turning 40 years old, 74. Home runs in the year he turned 43 at 28. Consecutive seasons with 30 or more home runs, 13 times he did it between 92 and 2004. Slugging percentage in a single season, 863, did it in 2001. Slugging percentage in a World Series, 1.294 in 2002 against the Angels. Consecutive seasons with a 600 slugging percentage or higher, 8 times between 98 and 2005. On-base percentage in a single season, 609 in 2004. Walks in a single season, 232 times in 2004. Intentional walks in a single season, 120 that same season of 2004. Consecutive games with a walk, 18. And then MVP awards, 7. Closest competitors trail with 3. He did it in 1990, 92, 93, 2001, 2002, 2003, and 2004. It is crazy. Consecutive MVP awards 4 times in 01 to 04. The National League Player of the Month selection 13 times. Second place, either league, Frank Thomas, 8. Second place, National League, George Foster, Pete Rose, and Dale Murphy, 6. Oldest player, age 38, to win the National League batting title. He hit 370 for the first time in 2002. He's got records shared. Consecutive plate appearances with a walk, 7. Consecutive plate appearances reaching base, 15 times. Tied with his father, Bobby Bonds, for the most seasons with 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases, 5 times. They did it. They're the only father-son members of the 30-30 club. And then home runs in a single postseason. He had 8 in the 2002 season when they lost in the World Series to the Angels. Think about it. National League stat leader in accomplishments. Here we go. Adjusted OPS leader 9 times. Bases on balls leader 12 times. Batting champ twice. Extra base hits leader 3 times. Games played leader once. Home run leader twice. Intentional base on balls leader 12 times. On base percentage leader 10 times. On base plus slugging leader 9 times. Runs batted in leader once. Runs scored leader once. Slugging percentage leader 7 times. Total bases leader once. I mean, it's just crazy. He won the Babe Ruth Home Run Award, of course, in 2001. Baseball America All-Star 7 times. Baseball America Major League Player of the Year 3 times. MLB All-Star 14 times. Major League Player of the Year 3 times. Rawlings Gold Glove Award in the outfield 8 times. Silver Slugger Award in the outfield 12 times. He was the 5-time San Francisco Giants Player of the Year. 3-time National League Hank Aaron Award winner. Listed at number 6 on the Sporting News list of the 100 greatest baseball players ever. The highest ranked active player in 2005. Named a finalist to the Major League Baseball All-Century team in 99, but not elected to the team in fan balloting. He rated 352 on Baseball Reference Hall of Fame Monitor. 100 is a good Hall of Fame candidate. Ninth among all hitters. Highest among hitters not in the Hall of Fame. Only the second player to twice have a single season slugging percentage over 800, with his record of 863 in 2001 and 812 in 2004. Babe Ruth was the other, with 847 in 1920 and 846 in 1921. Bonds became the first player in history with more times on base, 376, than official at-bats, 373 at-bats in 2004. This was due to the number of walks, which were a record, which count as a time on base and as a plate appearance, but not as an at-bat. He had 135 hits, 232 walks, and 9 hit-by-pitches for a number of 376. With his father, Bobby, 332 and 461, leads the all-father-son combinations in combined home runs, 1,094, stolen bases, 975, respectively, and that was through September 26th of 2007. He played minor league baseball in both Alaska and Hawaii. In 83, he played for the Alaska Gold Panthers of Fairbanks in the Alaska Baseball League, and in 86, he played for the Hawaii Islanders in the Pacific Coast League. He was featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He appeared as main subject on the cover 8 times, 7 with the Giants and once with the Pirates. He also appeared on an inset of the cover twice. He was the most recent Pirate player to appear on the cover. And then I guess Jason Grilley was featured in SI's edition in July of 2013. But, I mean, it is just absolutely crazy what this guy did. 40-40 club, 50 home run club, 500 home run club. It just goes on and on and on and on and on, his accomplishments. There's just no questioning how great he was as a player. I've said this a number of times, that I literally had the luxury in my career broadcasting of covering Barry Bonds from the beginning, almost literally until the end. First of all, he was drafted by the Pirates, and he came up in 86. And I was covering the Pirates then, and I covered them on a day-to-day basis every day for 3 years. I went to every game, every night. I did everything. I went to spring training for a month and hunkered down with the Pirates at McKechnie Field in Bradenton and did my sports casts in morning and afternoon drive from Bradenton on KQV in Pittsburgh, 1410. Give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. So I covered Barry Bonds. Then when he moved to the Giants, I was in San Francisco in 94 covering Bonds, and I was doing my show at night on KMBR, the home of the Giants. So there you go. I had him in Pittsburgh. I had him in San Francisco. And I covered him on a daily basis, and I was around him on a daily basis. And when he first came up, he was a skinny, fast, lightning bolt, stud, five-tool star. He had speed, confidence, an arm, fast hands, fast feet, a great jump. The guy could do anything. He was 40-40. He could hit 40 home runs and steal 40 bases in his sleep. Before he got to Pittsburgh, the Pirates had just terrible attendance. In 84 and 85, their attendance was below 10,000 per game for the 81 games. Bonds made his debut on May 30th of 86. And then in 86, he led the National League rookie with all of them, with 16 home runs, 48 RBIs, 36 stolen bases, and 65 walks. But he finished sixth in the Rookie of the Year voting. He played center field in 86, but then switched to left field with the arrival of Andy Van Slyke in 87. And Van Slyke was a stud. In his early years, Bonds batted as the leadoff hitter. With Van Slyke in the outfield, the Pirates had a great defensive tandem that worked together to cover a lot of ground out in the outfield. They were incredibly fast. Van Slyke had great skills in the outfield, great speed for a white boy, and he did it all. He could hit, he could run, he could catch anything in the outfield. The Pirates had a surge in fans with Bonds on the team and set a club attendance record of 52,000 in the 87 home opener. And that year, Bonds hit 25 home runs in his second season and had 32 stolen bases and 59 RBIs. Ponce improved in 88, hitting .283 with 24 home runs. The Pirates broke the record set the previous year with 54,000 plus on opening day. Ponce now had a lineup that featured Bonilla, Vanslyke, Jay Bell. I remember it like it was yesterday. He finished with 19 homers, 58 RBIs, 14 outfield assists in 89, and was second in the NL in that department. Following the season, rumors started that he'd be traded to the Dodgers, but the team denied those rumors and no trade happened. Bonds won his first MVP in 90, hitting .301 with 33 home runs, 114 RBIs. He also stole 52 bases, which was third in the league, becoming the first time member of the 30-30 club. He won his first Gold Glove Award and Silver Slugger Award. That year, the Pirates won the National League East title for their first postseason berth since winning the 79 World Series against the Orioles. The Reds, whose last postseason berth had also been 79 when they lost to the Pirates in that year's NLCS, beat the Pirates in the NLCS en route to winning the World Championship that year. In 91, Bonds also put up great numbers, hitting 25 homers and driving in 116 runs, got another Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger Award. He finished second to Terry Pendleton of the Braves, the NL batting champ, in the MVP voting. The Pirates slugging outfield of Bonds, Bonilla, Vanslyke performed miserably in the 90 and 91 playoffs, hitting .190 in 90 and .200 in 91. In 1990, they went 12 for 63 in the playoffs, and then in 91, they combined to go 15 for 75. It was embarrassing. In March of 92, the Pirates GM at the time, Ted Simmons, agreed to deal with the Braves, John Schuerholz, to trade Bonds in exchange for Alejandro Pena, Keith Mitchell, and a player to be named. Pirate Jim Leenan opposed the trade vehemently, and then the proposal was rescinded. Bonds stayed in Pittsburgh and won his second MVP award that season while hitting .311 with 34 homers and 103 RBIs. He propelled the Pirates to their third straight National League East Division title. However, the Pirates were beaten by the Braves in a seven-game NLCS that drove me nuts. Bonds participated in the final play of Game 7 of the NLCS, where he fielded a base hit by Francisco Cabrera, attempted to throw out slow-running Sid Bream at home plate, but the throw to Mike LaValliere was late. Bream scored the winning run. He used to be a Pirate first baseman, and for the third consecutive season, the NL East champion Pirates were denied a trip to the World Series. Following the loss, Bonds and Doug Drabek were expected to command salaries too high for Pittsburgh to again sign them. Bonds was never well-liked by reporters or fans while in Pittsburgh, despite winning two MVP awards. And then one paper even gave him an award as MDP, Most Despised Pirate.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The bottom line was, he was incredible, and he was an amazing player, and he carried the Pirates, in my opinion. It wasn't Bonilla, it wasn't Vanslyke, it wasn't Doug Drabek, it was Bonds. Bonds was the difference for the Pirates getting to all those playoff series and NLCS and losing to the Braves. His throw didn't make it. Bream beat him. People talk about it to this day. It was a nightmare. I went to all of those playoff games. I went to every one of them. I was there for all of it. And it was really disastrous. I mean, it was very troubling and very depressing as a Pirate fan. It was torture to see him go every year and to lose. And to lose the way they lost. Even have slow-running Sid Bream beat you at home plate in Game 7. That was the worst, most devastating one of all that you never forget for the rest of your life. To have that guy stick a knife in your chest, it was brutal. But the fact that you see, even in the end, how much people didn't like him. I guess fans liked him because they knew that he was so good and that he had such a big bat and stole so many bases and threw out so many runners and everything else. But he was not popular with the media. The media couldn't stand him. There were a lot of people that believed that the teammates couldn't stand him because he was such a jerk. I mean, it was that simple. This guy was absolutely impossible to deal with. And I mean, I'll tell you about it even more later. I kind of want to transition into him going to San Francisco. So in 93, Bonds left the Pirates to sign a huge deal, which was a record then, $43.7 million, equivalent to $77.5 in last year's money. Over 6 years with the Giants, he signed the deal. And of course, his father had spent the first 7 years of his career there. And his godfather was Willie Mays, who played 22 of his 24 seasons in the majors in San Francisco. So the deal at the time was the largest ever in terms of value and annual salary. Once he signed with the Giants, Bonds had intended to wear number 24, his number, during his time with the Pirates. And after he received Mays' blessing, the Giants were willing to unretire it until the public commotion from fans and media became too much. So to honor his father, Bonds switched his jersey number to 25, as it had been Bobby's number in San Francisco, his dad's number. So Bonds hit 336 in 93, leading the league with 46 home runs and 123 RBIs en route to his second consecutive MVP award and his third overall. As good as the Giants were, winning 103 games, the Braves won 104 in what some call the last great pennant race. That was because a wild card was instituted after that. In 94, the lockout shortened season, Bonds hit 312 with 37 home runs and a league-leading 74 walks, and he finished fourth in MVP voting. In 95, Bonds hit 33 home runs and drove in 104 runs, hit 294, but finished only 12th in the MVP voting. In 94, he appeared in a small role as himself in a TV film, Jane's House, starring James Woods and Ann Archer. In 96, Bonds became the first National League player and second Major League player to hit 40 home runs and steal 40 bases in the same season. The other members of the 40-40 club are Jose Canseco, A-Rod, Alfonso Soriano, if you can believe it. His father, Bobby Bonds, was one home run short in 73 when he hit 39 home runs and stole 43 bases. Bonds hit his 300th and 301st home runs on April 27th against John Burkett of the Marlins. He became the fourth player in history to join the 300-300 club with 300 stolen bases, 300 home runs for his career, joining Willie Mays, Andre Drawson, and his father, Bobby Bonds. Bonds' totals for the season included 129 runs driven in, a 308 average, and then a National League leading 151 walks. He finished fifth in the MVP balloting. In 97, Bonds hit 291, his lowest average since 89. He hit 40 home runs for the second straight year and drove in 101 runs, leading the league in walks again with 145. He tied his father, Bobby, in 97 for having the most 30-30 seasons, and he again placed fifth in the MVP balloting. In 98, with two outs in the ninth inning of a game against the Diamondbacks, in late May, Bonds became only the fifth player in baseball history to be given an intentional walk with the bases loaded. Can you even believe it? On August 23rd, Bonds hit his 400th career home run. By doing so, he became the first player to enter the 400-400 club by having career totals of 400 home runs and 400 stolen bases. He's still the only player to have achieved that feat. The milestone home run came against the Marlins. For the season, he hit 303 with 37 home runs and drove in 122 runs, winning his eighth gold glove. He finished eighth in the MVP voting. In 99, it marked a career low for Bonds in terms of playing time. He started off the 99 season hitting well by hitting 366 in the month of April with four homers and 12 RBIs in the Giants' first 12 games. But in mid-April, he was placed on a 15-day DL for the second time in his career. He had suffered a torn tendon in his bicep as well as bone spurs in his elbow, both of which required surgery and cost him the rest of April and all of May. And when he came back in early June, he struggled at the plate for the remainder of the season. A series of nagging injuries, including elbow pain, knee inflammation, groin issues, hampered his play. Only hitting .248 after his return from the DL, he still managed to hit 34 home runs and drive in 83 runs, as well as hit for .617 slugging, despite missing nearly two full months with injuries and playing only 102 games. So the great Bill James ranked Bonds the best player of the 90s. He added that the decade's second-best player, Craig Biggio, had been closer in production to the decade's 10th-best player than to Bonds. In 99, with stats through 97 being considered, Bonds ranked number 34 in the Sporting News list of 100 greatest baseball players ever, making him the highest-ranked active player at the time. When the Sporting News list was redone in 2005, Bonds was ranked 6th behind Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, and Hank Aaron. So you could ask yourself, right then and there, why is he not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, honest to God, the guy's numbers. I just sat there and rattled off numbers to you that are so phenomenal. I mean, even to this point, through 99, he should have been a Hall of Famer. He was omitted from the 99 Major League Baseball All-Century team, to which Ken Griffey Jr. was elected. And then Bill James wrote to Bonds, quote, "Certainly the most unappreciated superstar of my lifetime. Griffey has always been more popular, but Bonds has been a far, far greater player," end quote. In 99, he rated Bonds as the 16th best player of all time. He said, quote, "When people begin to take in all of his accomplishments, Bonds may well be rated among the 5 greatest players in the history of the game," end quote. You can't even argue it. I mean, this guy, he was the best player, I think, that I ever saw. It doesn't matter to me. I thought A-Rod was incredible, and I just think Bonds was on the same level and even higher. I mean, I thought Bobby Bonds was great, and then Barry came along, and he wiped out Bobby Bonds from my memory. Barry Bonds had the fastest eye-hand coordination and bat speed, and his turn into a fastball or into a pitch that he could see in his wheelhouse was the greatest speed swing I've ever seen. He would turn on a pitch faster than anyone I'd ever seen, and he would jack a ball out of a ballpark faster than any player I've ever seen. It does not matter if it was a fastball, a cutter, a slider, a curveball. I don't care what it was, but particularly a fastball. If this guy saw a fastball, he turned on it and put it in that bay like no one's business. And he did the same thing in Pittsburgh, jacking home runs all over that place at Three Rivers. He just destroyed that ballpark. In 2000, Bonds hit .306 with career bests through that time in both slugging percentage, .688, home runs, .49, and just 143 games. He also drew a league-leading 117 walks. There's never been anyone ever that got more walks than Bonds. Pitchers were flat out afraid of him. I mean, that's just all there was to it. In 2001, Bonds' production reached even higher levels, breaking not only his personal records, but several major league records. In the Giants' first 50 games in 01, he hit 28 home runs, including 17 in May, a career high. That stretch included his 500th home run on April 17th against the Dodgers. He also hit 39 home runs by the All-Star break, a new major league record. He drew a major league record 177 walks and had a .515 on-base average, a feat not seen since Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams 40 years earlier. Bonds' slugging percentage was a major league record .863, 411 total bases and 476 at-bats, and he ended the season with a major league record 73 home runs. Everyone knows he was juicing. Everyone knows he was on it. And that was that. The numbers started skyrocketing in 01, and that's when people started realizing that Bonds was a cheater and a juicer. And that's all there is to it. On October 4th, he homered off Wilfredo Rodriguez in the 159th game of the season. Bonds tied the previous record of 70 home runs set by Mark McGwire, which McGwire set in 162 games in 98. He then hit number 71 and 72 the following night off Chan Ho Park. Bonds added his 73rd off Dennis Springer on October 7th. The ball was later sold to Todd McFarlane for $450,000. I worked for Todd McFarlane. I did the McGwire, Sosa, home run ball tour around the country. And McFarlane also bought the Bonds home run ball for nearly $500,000. He had bought the McGwire 70th from 98. Bonds received the Babe Ruth Home Run King Award for leading MLB in homers that season. And I went around the country with the Maguire Sosa home run balls, and it was like a tour for ALS. We raised money for ALS, and I went to every ballpark in the majors in 30 days. We did every single one of them. It was an incredible experience. I got to be really good friends with the creator of Spawn, Todd McFarlane, cool guy. He would later be on my show a million times, and we developed a really good friendship. He lives in Phoenix, and he's a huge Diamondback fan and baseball fan, and he loves sports memorabilia. He was obsessed with it, and he loves comics. Like, Spawn was his thing. So a really cool dude, a badass. He just kept buying memorabilia. You got to be impressed with that. So what a season he had in 2001. You can't even deny it. It was remarkable, and you couldn't get enough of it. You had to watch it. You had to see it for yourself. Every night, this guy was jacking home runs. You know, the night he hit the 71 and 72 off Chano Park, and then the next home run was 73 in October. I mean, it just was crazy at that time. Watching this guy jack home runs was absolutely crazy. So in 2002, Bonds re-signed with the Giants, a five-year, $90 million deal in January. He hit five home runs in the Giants' first four games of the season, tying Lou Brock's 35-year-old record for most home runs after four games. He won the batting title with a career-high 370 average and struck out only 47 times. He hit 46 home runs in 403 at-bats for the season. Despite playing in nine fewer games than the previous season, he drew 198 walks, a major league record. 68 of them were intentional, surpassing Willie McCovey's 45 in 1969 for another major league record. He slugged .799, then the fourth highest total of all time. He broke Ted Williams' major league record for on-base average with .582. He also hit his 600th home run less than a year and a half after hitting number 500. I mean, think about that. He hit number 500, then a year and a half later, he had number 600.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
That home run came on August 9th against Kip Wells of the Pirates. Go figure. In the 2002 postseason, Bonds hit .322 with 8 home runs, 16 RBIs, and 27 walks in the postseason en route to the 2002 World Series, which the Giants lost in 7 to the Angels. It was the closest he would ever get to sniffing a World Series ring and championship. In 2003, Bonds played in just 130 games. He had 45 home runs and just 390 at-bats, along with a .341 batting average, which was really impressive when you think about it. He slugged .749, walked 148 times, and had an on-base average well over 500. .529 was the actual number. For the third straight year, he did that, over 500. He also became the only member of the career 500 home run, 500 stolen base club by stealing second base in June off of Eric Gagne in the 11th inning of a tied game against the Dodgers, against whom Bonds had tallied his 500th home run. Bonds scored the game-winning run later that inning. In 2004, Bonds had his maybe best season. He hit .362 en route to his second National League batting title. He broke his own record by walking 232 times. That is just crazy. He slugged 812, which was the fourth highest of all time. He broke his on-base percentage record with 609. Bonds passed Mays on the career home run list by hitting his 661st off Ben Ford on April 13th. Then he hit his 700th off Jake Peavy on September 17th. So here he is again, going over 700. Bonds hit 45 home runs and 373 at-bats, struck out just 41 times. The numbers are staggering. They are so staggering, it's not even funny. Now, I get it. People say they're all fake and phony, and he was juicing on the cream and the clear and whatever else. But the numbers are staggering. I have to say, I get it. People hate him. I get it. He cheated. I get it. He used. I get it. He was on the cream and clear. I get it. He had an edge. But there is no denying his skill, his eye-hand coordination, his ability to hit a baseball, his ability to turn on a baseball, his ability, his eyes to see the pitch and to walk that many times, not just because they were afraid to let him hit, not just because they intentionally walked him, but he saw pitches that were outside, off the plate, off the black. He knew he had that talent and he could hit anything. If he saw his pitch, he would drive it out of the ballpark every time. It was just absolutely insane. I don't care what you're on. I don't care if you're drunk, high, cream, clear, roiding, PEDs, juice. I don't care what it is. If you have that talent to hit that way, that's what you have, is talent. That guy had more talent in his fingers than anyone I've ever seen in my life with a baseball bat in his hand. I mean, it is absolutely crazy what he did. Very few major leaguers have ever had more home runs than strikeouts in a season. Bonds would win his fourth consecutive MVP award and his seventh overall. His seven MVP awards are four more than any player in history. I mean, what do you need to know? Seven MVP awards, four more than anyone else ever. How do you not get in the Hall of Fame? I mean, that's just unbelievable. All there is to it is simple. Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for what he did, his numbers, and what he put up. And Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what he did, betting on games, betting on his own team, betting on baseball. I don't care what he bet on. I really don't, because his numbers, he was the all-time hit king. When I watched Pete Rose play baseball, there was no one like him. Literally, no one worked harder. No one hustled more. No one was that aggressive and insane on the field, in the batter's box, on a base pass, defensively, whatever. He would run you over like he did Ray Fosse in the All-Star game. That guy didn't care if it was an All-Star game, which was supposed to be, you know, friendly, you know, when everybody's like just playing for the fans. No, this guy took every game so seriously, it wasn't even funny. And he would literally cut your heart out to win. And his numbers alone should have him in the Hall of Fame already. They're just waiting baseball for him to die. They want him to go away. They cannot stand Pete Rose. And they hate Barry Bonds. That's all there is to it. Barry Bonds should have been in the Hall of Fame 10 times over. He's only got two more years to get in the Hall of Fame, and he's at 60% votes now. You have to have 75% votes to get in. Bottom line, he's not going to get in because people hate him, and I'll get to that later. I haven't even begun to get to that point. I've just been talking about what he's accomplished. It's crazy. I mean, no other player from either league has been awarded the MVP four times in a row, but he has. The MVP was first given out in 1931. The 40-year-old Bonds at the time in 2004 also broke Willie Stargell's 25-year record as the oldest player to win the MVP award. Stargell, at 39 years, 8 months, was the National League co-MVP with Keith Hernandez in 79 when the Pirates won the World Series over the Orioles. On July 4th of 04, Bonds tied and passed Ricky Henderson's career bases on balls record with his 2,190th and 2,191st career walks. Think about that. All-time walks king, too. 2,191. That's crazy. As Bonds neared Aaron's record, Aaron was called on for his opinion of Bonds, of course. He said he was a fan and admirer of Bonds and avoided controversy regarding whether the record should be denoted with an asterisk for Bonds' alleged steroid use at the time. He felt recognition and respect for the award was something to be determined by the fans. As the steroid controversy got bigger and bigger during the offseason before the 05 season, Aaron expressed reservations about the statements Bonds made on the issue. Aaron expressed that he felt drug and steroid use to boost performance was inappropriate. Aaron was frustrated that the media could not focus on events that occurred in the field of play and wish drugs or gambling allegations such as those associated with Pete Rose could be emphasized less. In 07, Aaron felt that the whole steroid use issue was very controversial and decided that he would not attend any record-breaking games. Aaron congratulated Bonds through the media, included a video played on the scoreboard when Bonds eventually broke Aaron's record on August of 2007. In 05, Bonds' salary for that season was $22 million, the second highest salary in baseball. A-Rod earned the highest at $25.2 million. Bonds endured a knee injury, multiple surgeries, and rehab. He was activated on September 12th and started in left field. In his return against the Padres, he nearly hit a home run in his first at-bat. He finished the night 1-for-4. Upon his return, Bonds resumed a high-caliber performance at the plate, hitting home runs in four consecutive games from September 18th to the 21st, but had five homers in 14 games. That's all it took him to crank five. In 06, Bonds earned $20 million, not with bonuses, the fourth highest salary in baseball. Through 06, he had earned approximately $172 million during his 21-year career, making him baseball's all-time highest-paid player. Bonds hit under 200 for the first 10 games of the season and did not homer until April 22nd. The 10-game stretch is the longest home run slump since the 98 season. On May 7th, he drew within one home run of tying Babe Ruth for second place on the all-time list, hitting his 713th career home run into the second level at Citizens in Philly off John Lieber in a game in which the Giants lost to the Phillies. The towering home run, one of the longest in the ballpark's history, traveled 450 feet, hit off the facade of the third deck in right field. The guy hit bombs. On May 20th of 06, Bonds tied Ruth, hitting his 714th career home run to deep right field to lead off the second inning. The home run came off of Brad Halsey of the A's in an interleague game played in Oakland. Since it was an interleague game, Bonds was batting as the DH in the lineup for the Giants. And Bonds said afterwards he was just glad it was over with and he could focus on Albert Pujols, who was on a rapid home run pace in 06. On May 28th, Bonds passed Ruth, hitting 715 off of the Rockies. And then that ball went 445 feet into center field, where it went through the hands of several fans, but then fell onto a platform in center field. It rolled back where this 38-year-old guy from San Francisco caught the ball while he was in line at the concession stand. And then Dave Fleming's play-by-play of a home run went silent just as the ball was hit because his mic failed, but the televised version by Dwayne Kuiper was not affected. On September 22nd, Bonds tied Henry Aaron's National League career home run record of 733. The home run came in the sixth inning of a high-scoring game against the Brewers at Miller Park in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The achievement was notable for its occurrence in the very city where Aaron began and concluded his career. With the Giants trailing 10-8, Bonds hit a blast to deep center on a 2-0 pitch off Chris Spurling with runners on first and second with one out. There you go. The Brewers eventually won the game. Bonds went 3-for-5 with two doubles, the record-tying home run, and six RBIs. On September 23rd, Bonds surpassed Aaron for the NL career home run record, hit in Milwaukee like the previous one. This one was hit off Chris Capuano with the Brewers. This was the last home run Bonds hit in 2006. He recorded his lowest slugging percentage since 91 with the Pirates at that point. And then in January of 07, the Daily News in New York reported that Bonds had tested positive for amphetamines. Players testing positive had to submit to six additional tests and undergo treatment and counseling. There you go. So he got popped for that. In 07, the Giants did a deal with Bonds And the commissioner's office rejected the one-year $15.8 million because it contained a personal appearance provision. The team sent revised documents to his agent, Jeff Boris, who stated at the time that Barry's not signing the new documents. Bond signed a revised one-year $15.8 million contract on February 15th and reported to the spring training scene for the Giants at the time. In the second game of the season, Bonds hit a pitch from Chris Young and the Padres over the wall in dead center for career home run 735. This home run put Bonds past the midway point between Ruth and Aaron. Bonds did not homer again until April 13 when he hit two against the Pirates. Bonds splashed a pitch by Cardinals pitcher Ryan Franklin into McCovey Cove on April 18th for 738. 739 and 740 came in back-to-back games against the Diamondbacks in late April. The hype surrounding his pursuit of the home run record escalated on May 14th. There was an auction house. They offered $1 million to the fan who would catch Bonds' record-breaking 756 home run. The million-dollar offer was rescinded on June 11th out of concern for fan safety. Home run 748 came on Father's Day, June 17th, in the final game of a three-game road series against the Red Sox at Fenway, where Bonds had never played. With the homer, Fenway became the 36th Major League ballpark in which Bonds had hit a home run. He hit a Wakefield knuckleball just over the low fence into the Giants' bullpen and right. It was his first home run of his former Pirate teammate, who became the 441st different pitcher to surrender a home run to Bonds.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
The 750th hit on June 29th also came off a former teammate, Livion Hernandez. That blast in the eighth inning and at that point of the game tied it at threes. On July 19th, after a 21 at bat hitless streak, Bonds hit two home runs, 752 and 753 against the Cubs. On July 27th, Bonds hit home run number 754 against Marlins pitcher Rick Vandenhoek. There you go. He's getting closer and closer. On August 4th, Bonds hit a 380-foot shot against Clay Hensley of the Padres for home run number 755, tying Hank Aaron's all-time record. Bonds greeted his son with a bear hug after he crossed home plate, and the place went crazy. I remember it. And then on August 7th, at Oracle in San Francisco, Bonds hit a 435-foot home run, his 756th, off of Mike Bassick of the Nationals, breaking the all-time career home run record held by Hank Aaron. The commissioner, Bud Seeley, was not in attendance in a game, but was represented by one of his flackies. Seeley called Bonds later that night to congratulate him on breaking the record. President George W. Bush also called Bonds the next day to congratulate him. Bonds concluded the 2007 season hitting 276, 28 homers, 66 RBIs in 126 games and 340 at-bats. At the age of 43, he led both leagues in walks with 132. And that was it. On September 21st of 07, the Giants confirmed they would not re-sign Bonds for the 08 season. Bonds announced it on his own website that day. He filed for free agency on October 29th, 07. And his agent said they thought they'd get widespread interest from every major league team. But nobody ever signed him in 08 or 09. He needed just 65 hits to reach 3,000, 4 runs batted in to reach 2,000, and 38 home runs to reach 800. He would have needed 69 more runs scored to move past Ricky Henderson as the all-time runs champ and 37 extra base hits to move past Hank Aaron as the all-time extra base champ. And that was that. He never got to do any of it. On December 9th, Boris, his agent, told the San Francisco Chronicle that Bonds had played his last major league game. Bonds announced on April 11, 2010, that he was proud of McGuire for admitting his use of steroids. And Bonds said that it was not the time to retire, but he noted that he was not in shape to play immediately if an interested club had called him. And then in 2015, Bonds filed a grievance against baseball through the Players Union, arguing the league colluded in not signing him after the 2007 season. In August, an arbiter ruled in favor of baseball and against Bonds in the collusion case. In 2011, Bonds was sentenced to 30 days of house arrest, 2 years of probation, and 250 hours of community service for obstruction of justice conviction stemming from a grand jury appearance in 2003. In 2015, he was announced as a new hitting coach for the Marlins, but then he was let go in October of 2016 after just one season. In 2017, he joined the Giants again as the special advisor to the CEO. And then in July of 2017, Bond was added to the Giants Wall of Fame. In his first 6 years of eligibility for induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame, Bonds got 36%, 34%, 36%, 44%, 53%, 56%, and then eventually 60% the next year. He's short of the 75%, as I had mentioned. On February 6th of 2018, the Giants announced their intentions to retire his number 25 jersey, which happened on August 11th of 2018. So if you go back to everything, like the Balco scandal, Bonds was a key figure in that. He became first embroiled in the scandal when Greg Anderson of Balco, his trainer since 2000, was indicted by a federal grand jury in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California and charged with supplying steroids to athletes, including a number of baseball players. And Bonds said that he had used a clear substance and a cream that he received from Greg Anderson. And, you know, in July of 2005, all four defendants in the Balco steroid scandal, including Anderson, struck deals with federal prosecutors that did not require them to reveal the names of athletes who may have used the banned drugs. In 2007, Bonds was indicted on four counts of perjury and one count of obstruction of justice as it related to the government investigation of Balco. So in other words, he was lying through his teeth. In March of 2006, the book Game of Shadows by Lance Williams and Mark Fanuawada was released amid a storm of media publicity, including the cover of Sports Illustrated. And remember, it all said that Bonds used stanozolol and other steroids. And bottom line is that just had the public just crush him. Everyone knew then that he was a liar and that he obstructed justice and that he had used cream and clear and said he didn't know what it was and nobody bought his BS. And it ruined his life. It's unbelievable that all these years later, he's doing interviews saying that he feels like a ghost. He did an interview in The Athletic, and a wide-ranging interview included talking about his career and everything else. He said, "I feel like a ghost in a big empty house just rattling around." He said he was given a death sentence. "My heart, it's broken, really broken," Bond said. And he said, "If they don't want me, just say you don't want me and be done with it. Just be done with it." It's funny coming from him because I have to tell you, after covering him in Pittsburgh and covering him in San Francisco and even telling you that he's the best baseball player I ever saw, he was the biggest jerk I ever met in my entire career of 35 years in sports broadcasting. No one even comes close. So I appreciated and respected Bob Knight, even though he treated people like crap. There was no one that treated people worse or the media worse or anyone worse that I've ever seen in my life than Barry Bonds. He was an a-hole. This guy was such an a-hole that one day I just finally had had enough of him and I'd had enough of the way he treated people. Every single day, it didn't matter what you did. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter how much juice you had. It didn't matter how famous you were. It didn't matter how big you were in sports. If you were the biggest TV star, biggest radio star, it didn't matter who you were. He treated you like Shaq. And all he ever did was treat people terribly. So one day, I finally, right in his face, told him, "I think you're an a-hole. Your problem is, you're an a-hole, dude, and everybody hates your guts because you're such an a-hole." And then he wanted to kill me. He literally wanted to knock my head off. I thought he was going to attack me in the clubhouse when I said it to his face. And the only way that it stopped from happening was there was too many people there, and they blocked him from attacking me. Because I just came right out with it. I'm like, "You're an a-hole. Everybody hates your guts. And it's because you're such a D. You're such a gigantic D and an a-hole that everyone hates your guts. So rot in hell, you piece of Shaq." I said it right to his face. The guy hated my guts forevermore. And then it was so great because I did that when I was in Pittsburgh. Then I got to see him in San Francisco, and I'd always wave to him and wink. He could not stand me. I used to drive him nuts because I'd be like, it's still me. You can't get rid of me. Here I am, and I'm huge. Everyone listens to me. I'm on the home of the Giants, KMVR. I'm number one. Millions of fans love me, and everyone knows that you juice. And everyone knows that you're a liar. Everyone knows your perjury. Everyone knows your obstruction of justice charges. And everyone knows you're an a-hole. Everyone knows you're an a-hole. Everyone hates your guts. Your own teammates hate your guts. You're the biggest D in baseball history. And it's all going to come back to bite you in the ass. Karma's a B. And you're going to get it full tilt. No questions asked. And that's exactly what happened. What goes around comes around. Good old Barry Bonds, in the end, saying he feels like a ghost, and he's, you know, heartbroken, and he's got a death sentence. You deserve it, bro. You're a ghost in a big empty house just rattling around. That's because you get what you give. You were too big for your own britches your entire career. Your dad was a D. Your dad was an a-hole. You just lived just like him, but you took it to another level. Not only were you the biggest a-hole in baseball, but everyone in baseball hated your guts. You didn't have a friend in the league. I mean, you literally walked through the paces of Major League Baseball every year, breaking all those records, breaking every record known to man, winning all those MVPs, never winning a World Series. Meanwhile, no one liked you. No players liked you. No coaches liked you. I guess Jim Leland liked you a little bit, but then he got sick of you too. Dusty Baker couldn't stand your ass either. Eventually, there was no one left in the world that could stand you. Your wife left you. Your kids don't talk to you. I mean, you're the biggest D of all time, bro. And then you wonder why you're a ghost now, and you wonder why now all of a sudden you want to be nice to people. For a player that is so famous and that gets so much attention and that is so revered and that is so followed by the media, that when it all dries up, when their career ends and no one gives a rat's ass about you and no one talks about you anymore and you're not in the news and no one wants to interview you and no one talks about you and you have nothing but a ham sandwich to look at every day in your kitchen, that's when you realize and you find out then why no one's talking to you. It's because you're such a D. It's because you're such an a-hole. And so no one cares. No one's feeling sorry for you, bro. You can do as many interviews as you want. You're not getting into the Hall of Fame because everyone's getting even with you for the way you treated everyone. You had this coming, bruh. You're busted. This is your own doing. It's funny. The greatest player I ever watched, now all of a sudden he's crying in his soup. Now all of a sudden we're supposed to feel sorry for you and give you something. Give you what? You're getting back what you gave, bruh. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You lose. It doesn't matter what you want because no one cares what you want. No one cares that you're miserable. In fact, everyone's lathering up in it. We all love the fact that you're miserable. It's funny. Most people, when they're sorry, eventually they give them a reprieve and a second chance. And they're like, all right, it's okay. I can dig it. I feel okay that you said you were sorry. I accept your apology. And then you move on in life. With you, Bonds, he wants everyone to let it go, but no one's letting it go because of how much of a tool you were to everyone. You set the standard in being an a-hole, so no one's ever going to forgive you. No one's ever going to like you again, dude. You can ride bikes. You can have all your stupid-ass charities. It doesn't matter because everybody knows you're a phony ass. And everything you're getting now is what you signed up for with the way you treated people, the way you treated the media, and the way you treated everyone around you, players, fans, media, the world, that you were bigger than everybody. Bonds has even admitted that he treated people like crap, and he's sorry for it, and he should have been better, and he didn't realize at the time how bad he was until he was done playing. Well, of course you figured it out when you were done playing because you were standing there on an island by yourself because you were such a big D that no one wanted anything to do with you. You didn't have a friend in the world. God didn't even want to talk to you. Jesus wouldn't even accept your calls. The bottom line is that you can apologize until you're blue in the face. No one's ever going to listen to you, dude. Ever. That's that. Boom. Kaput. You lose. That's the end of that. I loved spending time talking about Barry Bonds with you today. I'm Pharrell on the Bench. Check out
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.